Big Ten coaches, of course, they got the talking points. They're all excited. They're all happy. You get USC, you get UCLA. I think you got the if you got them in a room, having a drink with them, just one-on-one, I don't know if they would be as excited about that travel. It helps them maybe make more money. They're also going to have to split the money more ways. It also helps them keep up with the SEC. But I think a lot of football coaches just care about winning. And the idea of going out, traveling that far, maybe playing, you know, a late game for your body clock if you're playing a night game out on the West Coast. I don't know if the coaches would truly appreciate that when it comes to the Saturdays trying to win a big game, and now you got to go all the way out there to take on USC. Here was the commissioner, Kevin Warren. He said a couple of different things yesterday that stood out and made headlines. This was Warren talking about expansion yesterday and how the Big Ten may not stop with just these two teams. Here's the Big Ten commissioner.
Here's what he said.
I get asked every single day, what's next? It may include future expansion, but it will be done for the right reasons, with our student athletes, academic and athletic empowerment at the center of any and all decisions that we will make regarding any further expansions. We will not expand just to expand. It will be strategic. It will add additional value to our conference.
Kevin Warren yesterday. Of course, expansion talk, right, is not done. It's not taken off the table. The Big Ten won't be just simply satisfied or finished by adding USC and UCLA. And I imagine we aren't done expanding conferences. I don't think we'll be done until we get something more similar to the AFC and the NFC, with the other Power 5 conferences right now on the outside looking in, trying to figure out where they fit in. But for the Big Ten, look, they're doing well. They're doing fine. But they're still in second behind the SEC. And I imagine they're not going to stop until they close that gap or try to pass the SEC by. If they could add a Notre Dame, if they do so, they'd have to add another team to have an even amount. You get somebody from the Pac-12. You try to get somebody from, who knows, the ACC. And it's what I said previously about the SEC. They can kind of sit on their hands right now. They're fine. They're still in first in this arms race of conferences and college football. It doesn't matter that the Big Ten added USC and UCLA. The SEC is still sitting on the throne. But if the Big Ten makes another move, that could force the hand of the SEC. I think the Big Ten is kind of the linchpin right now in all of this. The SEC could be satisfied and maybe not make a change again. The Big Ten's still trying to catch up. I think Kevin Warren has something up his sleeve. Maybe not in the immediate future, but sometime soon, the Big Ten will continue to try to expand. And if and once they do, I think the SEC will then have some sort of response, and around we go, with the conference realignment continuing to play a big role in the future of college football. This is not the end of it. We're not done. These conferences are always looking at more options and ways to add teams. Kevin Warren was asked specifically about Notre Dame, and you know, he said, I'm not going to talk about any team that's in another conference. But we know Notre Dame, while the Big Ten may be the linchpin of the conferences, Notre Dame's kind of the linchpin of the teams. Here was Lane Kiffin, head coach of Ole Miss, who was on First Take just a couple hours ago, talking about the current state of college football. Lane's not really a fan of all the moving going around. Here's what Kiffin had to say this morning.
Well, it is a mess. You know, a lot of these decisions obviously are made for money. And, you know, I got asked last week a lot at the league meetings about, you know, especially USC, UCLA moving and Texas, Oklahoma. It just doesn't seem right. You know, I said Texas, Oklahoma, that doesn't feel right. And USC, UCLA going to the Big Ten doesn't feel right or sound right. Nothing about it. And especially when you look at scheduling, how that would work out and the travel and away from classes. You know, I'm sure maybe something went into it more than money, but I don't know what could have possibly, besides money, went into making that decision and tearing those conferences apart like they are now.
Yeah, I think it's just about money. Lane Kiffin's not a real fan. I'm sure a lot of college football fans, like, we don't like change. We like history. We like tradition. It's what I said at the top of this conversation, that the college football you grew up with or the college football even you got used to over the past decade. Since the last big changes we had when the Big Ten added some teams and the ACC got some teams and the Big East essentially dissolved, right, the college football you've been used to, the college football you've grown to love, it's not going to exist anymore. You lose the regionality. You lose a lot of those rivalries, the road trips, more of that community feel. And it is all about money. We know that. Which is why it's not going to stop, because these conferences, these schools, still want to make even more money. Here was Heather Dinich on Get Up this morning talking about expansion in college football. And where do we go from here? What's driving this? What's next? Here is Heather Dinich this morning.
Buku bucks. I mean, that's where it's at. And Jim Phillips said it perfectly when he said, we are trying to close the revenue gap between them. Everybody's saying, who can get into third place, right? Because these two are clearly the leaders. But in terms of the next move, you still have to consider Notre Dame. Because if they were to decide for some reason to relinquish their independence, what does that do to everybody else?
What does it do?
Well, then the Big Ten would have to add somebody else, I would think, because I don't think they would stop at 17. So what happens to the Pac-12? And don't forget the Big 12, because the Big 12 is still considering expansion. And I know that there are people in that league who want to bring up to six teams from the Pac-12, Pac-10 now. Can they stay together?
Heather Dinich this morning. As she said, right, the SEC and the Big Ten are clearly 1 and 2. She referenced Jim Phillips' comments at the ACC Media Days last week. They're trying to stay 3. And that takes me to Notre Dame, the team she brought up, because I do think they're the linchpin of the teams. The Big Ten is the linchpin of the conferences. I think they'd be the first to try to make another big swing, setting off a row of dominoes. I think the team it could be, or that could have an impact, would be Notre Dame, because they have all sorts of different options. They're trying to play their hand right now, use their leverage to remain independent and make more money than ever before. And it's a smart move by Notre Dame. If it works out and the playoff doesn't drastically change, removing some of their opportunity to be a playoff team, then if you're Notre Dame, you take the more money, you keep your independence, you're good to go. But if you can make more money by joining a conference, if somebody offers you a better deal, right, they obviously seem like a natural fit to the Big Ten. The SEC is the best conference in college football, so if you want it to be anywhere, theoretically, you would think you'd want to be in the SEC, and if everyone's knocking on your door, if you're Notre Dame and you have, you know, your choice to make, maybe you prefer to go to the SEC, even if it's not in your same region. And then there's the ACC that they've always been a quasi-member to, and if the ACC could get Notre Dame in, maybe that could keep them in third place. Maybe that could keep them around. You'd have Clemson, you'd have Notre Dame. Pretty good 1-2 punch. And then you'd hope Florida State and Miami elevate to where they were in the past decade or two. And now you got, you know, a decent quadrant of teams in that conference, some good brands. If you keep Clemson around, if you get Notre Dame in there, Florida State and Miami elevate their programs, which, you know, we believe Mario Cristobal will at least do in South Florida, that could maybe keep the ACC around. Not put them on the same level of the Big Ten and the SEC, but at least keep them from going extinct. And I think regardless, if Notre Dame makes a decision, it would lead to multiple moves, which Heather Dinich kind of alluded to there at the end. That if Notre Dame were to join the Big Ten, I think the SEC would have a response. If Notre Dame were to join the SEC someday, the Big Ten would have to respond. And if Notre Dame joined the ACC, well, maybe the Big Ten has a plan B up their sleeve of getting somebody else because they're still trying to catch up to the SEC. Which takes me to this. This was Kevin Warren again, the commissioner of the Big Ten. You may recall there was a story about a week ago about the Big Ten meeting with players. They're not going to use the word union. They're not going to say the players are unionizing. But they're having some meetings with the players. There's at least this idea of the players getting a cut of the money the conference is going to make as a way to bolster the conference, keep good talent in the Big Ten, have other teams be interested in joining the Big Ten. Kevin Warren was asked about this yesterday. Here's what he said about, you know, kind of teaming up with some of the athletes in the conference potentially down the road.
Doug, one of the reasons why we're forming our Student Athlete Advisory and Advocacy Committee is just to be able to have discussions not only about money, but about environment. You know, I'm fortunate because Greta and I are the parents of two former college student athletes, but one current student athlete. So a lot of the discussions that we're blessed to have around the dinner table center around what we can do to make sure that we're creating the best college athletic experience for our student athletes. So I've already started some dialogue with our student athletes. We're going to amplify that committee here quickly. I want to hear it from them. I want to be a great listener to figure out what is important to them. It's so easy to talk about the money and share money, but what does that really mean? And I just want to make sure that I listen and learn and to be able to have big ears and a small mouth to truly understand what's important to them. And that's going to be one of the topical areas when we have our first parents council meeting here coming up later this year, next month in August. I think it's actually next week. And so thank you for raising that question. It's a topic I think about on a daily basis. And I look forward for the Big Ten Conference to be bold and a leader in that area as we work through what's right for our student athletes.
Kevin Warren yesterday. I'll say this about him and Greg Sankey. We've seen it from both of them. They're trying to be these visionaries. They're trying to stay ahead of the curve or start something new. And that's the big difference of my concern when I heard the audio from Jim Phillips last week where he sounded a little outdated. He was trying to keep up. He was swimming upstream, just trying to stay afloat. Kevin Warren's coming up with ideas to stay ahead. Greg Sankey has always led the changes in the SEC, or in college football, I should say. That's why the Pac-12 has fallen behind. Their commissioner didn't know what was coming. And the ACC, I don't know if their guy, Jim Phillips, knows how to keep up or stay ahead or come up with a unique idea. Keep up with the times. Kevin Warren's talking about, you know, getting the players involved. There's speculation about the players getting a portion of the media rights in the Big Ten, again, as a way to just keep talent in, to try to curb the transferring, or to try to make teams happy, keep their programs, keep their schools in the Big Ten, let others join the Big Ten. They want to go be in that conference now, which is an interesting idea to try to battle, say, the SEC, or even for the ACC to consider something similar. Not necessarily paying the players if you're the ACC, but instead no longer divvying up your media rights evenly. Right? It's like when you pool your tips at a restaurant, or if you work in sales, and instead of doing commission, like you just pooled all of the commission and shared it amongst all the salesmen, and you're like, well, and I made a lot more sales than that person. How come we're making equal money? That's not right. In the ACC, Clemson's been driving the bus for years. It's Clemson and everybody else, and yet everyone's splitting the pie in equal parts. Why not base it off of how successful you are or how many wins you get as a way to try to keep Clemson happy and keep them from trying to leave the ACC? They can make more money while still being in your conference. The other schools in the conference may not like it, but it's for the betterment of the conference instead of breaking it all apart, and then you have Syracuse and Georgia Tech being left behind anyways, getting nothing. At least now you can still keep the ACC together. You keep Clemson in there. You keep Miami, whatever other schools that would start to be doing really well. And you split up the pie based off of who's having the most success instead of just evenly, we made $40 million, we have 10 teams, everybody gets $4 million, to use random numbers. Right, Big Ten's looking at something somewhat similar but with the players. Let's get the players involved to keep them happy and keep them from leaving. If you're the ACC, why not do something with the programs to keep them happy and keep them from leaving in this wild time of college football? And the last point from yesterday, the last big headline from Kevin Warren was the idea of expanding the playoff. Both him and the athletic director at Ohio State talked about 16 teams in the playoff field moving forward. Here's Pete Thamel on ESPN talking about potential college football playoff expansion once again.
Well, I think today was a significant day in the future of the college football playoff. If, as a 16-team playoff was spoken about out loud, Gene Smith mentioned it and said he can't ignore it. Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, called it an intriguing concept. The most interesting reverberation from a potential 16-team playoff for realignment would be that it would likely keep Notre Dame as an independent. Notre Dame values almost more than anything access to a vibrant postseason, direct access through the playoff structure. If that's eliminated, they would go join a league, likely the Big Ten. So I really think the 16-team playoff and the notion of it has the Irish eyes smiling.
Pete Thamel yesterday after some of the talks at the Big Ten media days. And again, we get back to Notre Dame. And it's why I said if you're the SEC, don't look to try to expand the playoff. That would give conferences automatic seats to the table. That would make it harder for an independent like Notre Dame because you could just be driving them into the arms of another, such as the Big Ten. Notre Dame, though, in all of this, is a pretty big linchpin in the future of college football, and that has to feel pretty good for them. That's why they're trying to use their leverage to get $75 million to stay independent. They kind of control the next moves in college football. I've long been let it known, I prefer the college football playoff exactly how it is. We don't need to expand. But just like Lane Kiffin said in the clip we played earlier, the same reason why we have all this college football realignment to begin with, it's all about money. And if you can make more money by expanding the playoff, these guys are going to do it in college football. I'm sure we'll get there eventually. 16 teams, you give 6 automatic berths, 10 wild cards, have a 16-team playoff, nobody gets a bye, stretch it out over the course of the month, and make a lot more money. We'll probably get to that point eventually. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's better for college football, but it is better for the bottom line of college football, and that's what's driving most decisions these days. Covering everything from the Big Ten Media Day and yesterday in college football, all sorts of headlines. You could tell everybody is looking forward to football, talking about all sorts of different comments made by Kevin Warren yesterday at the Big Ten Media Days. When we come back, we'll play a little matchmaker with college football teams. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio. Ooh, baby, baby.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio, reacting to the big headlines out of Big Ten Media Days yesterday. We'll play matchmaker in just a moment with some college football teams. Kevin Warren told Action Network yesterday there are a handful of schools besides Notre Dame that would add value to the Big Ten. Sources said the other schools being considered by the Big Ten are Oregon, Washington, Stanford, Cal, Miami, and Florida State for possible expansion moving forward. Sounds like more than a handful. And no Clemson on the list either for who the Big Ten may be looking at. As already detailed in the opening segment today and over the past couple weeks, I think Notre Dame is the white whale that's out there. They're the golden goose, whatever phrase you want to use. They're the biggest team left that everybody would love to have. They're like the most popular girl now at school, and everybody would love to go on a date with her. That's Notre Dame. Everybody would love to have them. Maybe even NBC or some sort of TV network that would keep them independent. So I figured, let's play a little game, and we'll play matchmaker. Which school would you rather have if we pit two programs next to one another from either the Big 12, the ACC, the Pac-10, 12, whatever they're going to be called? If you're the Big Ten, if you're the SEC, which school would you rather take on? So we have our matchmaker theme, which I don't think it's actually from the game show Matchmaker. I always forget. I think it's from a different dating game. Nonetheless, we have our theme. We're going to play a little matchmaker of college football programs. And Trent, I will ask you as well. We will both participate. I jotted down a random list of multiple teams to go head-to-head. So I ask you, if you're the Big Ten or SEC or just a general conference, Florida State or Stanford, who would you rather have come into your conference?
Wow, that's a tough one, Luke. But I will have to say, just off fan bases alone, I'm going to give it to Florida State. I would rather have the Seminoles in my conference. And that's tough to say for coming from a Florida fan here.
I agree with you, Florida State. A lot of people point to academics for Stanford. Maybe they make him a good fit in the Big Ten. But realistically, I don't think many people care about academics in this whole conversation. And so Stanford, they've had some good years in football. Overall, I go with the tradition of Florida State and the more recent history of winning championships, and I just trust Florida State more. And give me Florida more than the West Coast when it comes to college football. Remember, they tried to have the national championship game out there. They couldn't even sell it out. Give me Florida State and just that state and that fan base. I'd rather have that region than Stanford. Geographically, I'd rather go down to Florida than go all the way out west. I think Florida State over Stanford. Let's go to Virginia. Have to choose one of those two schools, Virginia Tech or UVA, the University of Virginia. Which Virginia school would you rather have come join your conference?
Well, there's potential that Virginia might be on the rise with Tony Elliott now being the head coach, but there's nothing like Virginia Tech football games in Blacksburg, I tell you what, right now. So give me Virginia Tech all day long, Luke Morrow.
I agree with you again. Neither one really excites me, but I'm with you. Just because of the environment, I'd rather have Virginia Tech come in. At least I'll have those games every once in a while on a Friday night in my conference, and you get that fan base. And Virginia Tech, in recent years, right, they were better more recently than Virginia, I guess. But neither team, if I'm looking at a team, I don't know if I'm interested in either program. But if I had to choose, I think I'd put Virginia Tech over Virginia. Next one, as we play matchmaker, who would you rather have come into your conference, Miami or Oregon?
Ooh, give me the U all day long. I think the U is back. You and I are both Mario Cristobal guys. I know some people in this office aren't, but I love Miami. Give me, even though Oregon brings a lot with Phil Knight and that Nike money, there's no doubt, but I'll take the U all day long.
We're in agreement again. Wow. I thought I came up with some good ones here, and yet we're on the same page with all these. Yeah, I agree. You got to go Miami. They have a better history, tradition. They're a brand that I think there's three brands in college football that go beyond football. Like, even when Miami's not good enough on the field, they're still an interesting program. And I would say Texas, USC, Miami are the three schools that every year, they're like the Cowboys. No matter if they're good or not on the field, or they're coming off a bad year, or they don't have a great roster, we're always talking about them. We're always wondering about them. Oregon had a few years there with, you know, Chip Kelly or even Mike Bellotti before him. But historically, I trust Miami more than Oregon. I think Miami's more interesting. Again, I would tell you I'd rather have South Florida be part of my conference than go out to Oregon. So I do agree, Miami. All right, maybe this next one will be a little more debated. Who would you rather have in your conference, Clemson or Notre Dame?
Ooh, man, that's difficult. That's very difficult, and I don't want to make any Tiger fans mad.
Go ahead, do it.
But I will have to say, I don't know, Luke. I'm going to take Clemson. Wow. I think just off of recency bias, two national championships, Dabo Swinney is still the head coach. They've been much more successful than Notre Dame over the past 10-plus years. So I would probably have to choose Clemson as of right now. But that Notre Dame brand, those Irish fans, they really hold a lot of water.
I've said it before in the show. We finally have a disagreement. I think Notre Dame. Now, I do agree in terms of, like, right now, who would I rather have this year? Yeah, Clemson. Next year? Yeah, probably Clemson. But historically, if you're telling me this team's going to be in your conference for the next 25 years, I trust Notre Dame more historically because we've seen, even when they're down, even when they can't compete for a national championship over the past 20-plus years, they're still a huge brand that everybody cares about. They have a national TV contract, national radio contract. They have a huge fan base all over. Clemson, if they stop winning, they may return to pre-Dabo Clemson at some point where they're not on that top tier of college football. They're not moving the needle nationally in college football like Notre Dame does, regardless of if they're good or not. So for the brand, for the history, I go at Notre Dame over Clemson. All right, this is kind of more basketball, but who would you rather have in your conference? We're considering all sports, but a couple of basketball schools, Duke or UNC?
Ooh. Man, I'm just a known Duke hater, so I'm going to take UNC all day long. I think UNC, what have they been to, four of the last seven, Final Fours. I think they're an incredibly, incredibly good basketball team. Big fan of Hubert Davis up there, so give me UNC all day long.
I'd go with UNC, too, because the football program's better at UNC than Duke. Neither one's great. We'll see if UNC gets it together. And then basketball-wise, it's kind of pick your poison, so I think football makes a difference. But then also Jordan. You get Jordan Brand in your conference. So I think UNC. I also think basketball schools are in big trouble in all these conversations because all we care about is football. So Duke, UNC, Kansas, even like a Syracuse could eventually get left behind because their football programs aren't good enough, and we don't care enough about basketball. Football makes more money. Couple more. Florida State or Miami, who would you rather have come join your conference out of those two Florida schools?
Man, I love Miami, Luke. I'm going to have to go with the U as of right now. I'm going to take Miami to come join my conference. Like I said, I'm a big Mario Cristobal guy. I think the future for Miami starting from right now is going to be, close to the history back in the late 80s, early 90s.
I'm with you. I think Miami has a greater future. I know Florida State's been better more recently, but I also think Miami is the bigger brand, and I say that with a lot of family that went to Florida State. I know they have a great tradition and great history, but still, it's the U. And I go back to what I said earlier. Miami, Texas, USC are the three schools that their brand transcends wins and losses. They're always considered cool football programs, even when the team's down. I'd go with Miami. I take Miami over most schools. We could do this all day, but let me get to two more of our matchmaker. We go to the Big 12. Baylor or Oklahoma State, who would you rather have come join your conference?
Give me the Cowboys. Give me Mike Gundy all day long. I wish he still had the mullet, obviously, but I feel like Oklahoma State is just a consistently, 8-9, sometimes 10-win football team. I would rather have them in my conference as of right now over the Baylor Bears.
All right, I disagree. I go with Baylor.
Wow.
You look at Baylor, the last three coaches have all had success. Now, Baylor also has some terrible things in their past with their programs. But Baylor, last three coaches have all, had the team ranked or played in big games, won double-digit games. It's Texas. And I also like Dave Aranda. I think Dave Aranda's future is bright. I don't know how much longer he's going to be at Baylor. I think Baylor may win the conference again this year. So I like the future of Baylor, and I also like just the history of Baylor over the past 15 years to turn themselves into a pretty good program. I'll take them over Oklahoma State. And I do like Mike Gundy, but sorry, Mike, you're on the chopping block. Last one, a little more obscure. Kansas State or Boise State? Who would you rather have come join your conference?
Ooh, man, that's difficult because you got purple jerseys, right, which are an iconic uniform combination, and then you got the blue field, right? So that's how I'm going to weigh this here, Luke Morrow, and quite honestly, I can't stand watching games on the blue field. That's what I'm going to go with. Give me Kansas State.
Wow.
Give me Kansas State.
I'm not a big fan of the turf either, but I'll take Boise State. Mm. Kansas State, outside of Bill Snyder, have never really had much success. I don't think they're a very big brand. I think Boise State's a bigger brand just because you think back to whether it's the turf or you think back to when they upset Oklahoma, whatever that was, 15 years ago. They've pulled off some big upsets. They had the Statue of Liberty play, and they had those fun offenses, and Chris Peterson came from there. So Boise State, I would trust more moving forward than Kansas. I think they're a bigger brand. I think they're more exciting. I think they could be a better program. And you know what? I'll suck it up and take on the turf as well anyways. At least that's something to talk about.
Holding on to those Kellen Moore days,
that's right.
Aren't we? Fiesta Bowl time, baby.
And yeah, who was the running back? I think Ian Johnson.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he like dropped to his knee and proposed to his girlfriend. That is one of my all-time favorite college football. I am biased to Boise State. That is one of my all-time favorite games of all time. I actually watched it on YouTube within the last year.
There's nothing better than the hook and ladder.
If
you have a successful hook and ladder play in college football, there might not be anything better than that.
That game was wild.
Yeah.
Just watch the fourth quarter and then the overtime. It's so much fun. And they had a couple of trick plays. That was the big one. I forget what else they did. They pulled off a couple of plays to beat Oklahoma. And I think Adrian Peterson was on that Oklahoma team, right? My guy. But what a great game. That's right up there. USC, Texas, Vince Young, Matt Leinart, maybe number one. Ohio State, Miami from 20 years ago is in my top three, and then probably Boise State, Oklahoma. Those are probably my three favorite college football games. All happened within like a five-year window there. Maybe we'll play matchmaker again later on today or later on this week because there's endless possibilities. But the team that you would most prefer join your conference, there you go, some of ours, as we talk more conference realignment in college football. When we come back, shifting gears a little bit, NFL training camps have all begun. Be very cautious about the most vocal coaches this time of year. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
NFL training camps have begun. For this time of year, be cautious about the most vocal coaches. It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Training camps began across the league yesterday in the NFL. And this time, you know, we always say it about college football. I guess it's the same in the NFL that it's talking season. And so a lot of coaches doing a lot of talking and a lot of praising, right? This time of year, you'll never hear anything negative. There used to be a show on, I think it was on Fox, about a decade ago. It was called Lie to Me. It only lasted for a couple of seasons. I remember watching some episodes in the first season. It was okay. But it was about a guy who worked, I think, with like the police department, if I remember correctly. Tim Roth was the actor, well-known actor. And he was a doctor, and he was an expert in body language. So he would work in like the interrogations with the police department, and he could pick out everyone's tell. He could figure out if they were lying or not. I believe the common one people always say is if you look to, I think it's specifically if you look to the left, right, that you're lying. But Tim Roth, it was somewhat of an interesting show. It got kind of old pretty quick, but it was pretty cool to see the different ways. I don't know if they were true or not, but the different ways that in the show they would point out ways that people lie. Everybody has a tell. If you play poker, you know all about it. And when it comes to NFL coaches, I think it's the same idea that when you maybe go out of your way to really hype somebody up, that's kind of a tell. And maybe you're trying to convince us. Or maybe yourself, or maybe the guy you're talking about. But you're trying to sell something to us. And so I say this because this offseason, right, we've had Tyreek Hill go crazy about Tua, most accurate quarterback I've ever played for. You're either trying to convince yourself that, after chasing the money, or you're trying to convince us of that, or even maybe trying to boost the ego of your quarterback because you think that will be necessary. Devontae Adams just called like Derek Carr a Hall of Famer or something. Right, similar. I know they're friends, so there's a personal connection. But he just left Rodgers. He goes to Carr. He's talking up Derek Carr. He's just as good as Aaron Rodgers. Maybe you saw Bill Belichick in his press conference yesterday said more nice things about Mac Jones than he ever said about Tom Brady in 20 years. 20 years total. He exceeded the amount of compliments he gave Brady publicly in one day yesterday on Mac Jones. Why? Well, because maybe he's trying to build up the confidence of Mac Jones. Maybe he's trying to convince himself, or he's trying to convince you about how good his quarterback is. He didn't have to do that with Tom Brady. He didn't have to worry about Tom Brady. We all knew how good Tom Brady was. He didn't need to convince us. Mac Jones, maybe it takes a little convincing. Cliff Kingsbury did the same thing yesterday with Kyler Murray. Maybe you could understand the timing of that after the contract clause that was released. And Matt Rhule was talking up his quarterback competition as well about Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and how great things are going and how it's going to make both guys better and it's going to help them win more games this year. You ever deal with a pushy salesman? Right? Usually the guys that are the pushiest are the ones that are pushing the worst products. It's somebody like on the side of the street. right? Trying to sell you a Fugazi watch, or like the ticket scalpers are always the most obnoxious. Right? Maybe they're a little more desperate. Whereas if you're a salesman and you trust what you're selling and you trust your ability, it's like, all right, well, I'll, on to the next one. I'll find somebody else. You don't want to buy it? I'll find somebody else who will buy this product. And I do pretty well. It's the guys that are a little more desperate that are really pushing it on you because they got to make a sale. Right? You ever sit down to have one of those timeshare experiences? They're going to offer you a free TV if you just listen to their little 30-minute spiel. And they always put the full-court press on you for those timeshares because nobody wants to buy a timeshare. Right? The people that have something they really need to try to sell, or those who are not as good enough salesmen, are the ones that usually are more pushy. They don't want you to walk out of the door without a deal. They need that deal. They're desperate. Same idea with the coaches. The ones that are the most talkative about their quarterbacks, even go out of their way to compliment them, are really high in their praise of their quarterbacks or their players, probably you're doing it for a reason. You won't hear Andy Reid step to the podium this week and go on and on about Patrick Mahomes and some sort of change he made or how he's looking. Because we know Patrick Mahomes is good. He doesn't need to convince us. We don't need to be convinced. We don't have to question it. Yeah, Mahomes, we've seen it. He's really good. Tom Brady, we knew it. Bill Belichick didn't have to say anything at the podium. But Mac Jones, there's no offensive coordinator, really no offensive coach on that side of the football. Jones is in just his second year. People believe he already hit a ceiling. And Belichick, he's got to lay it on a little thicker yesterday. Matt Rhule, you're choosing between Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. Pick your poison. Both will probably kill you. And you're wondering, or he's trying to convince all of us about how good it is for the team, and all these guys are going to be really good. Just wait. This battle's making them better. We're going to win a bunch of games. It sounds like you're kind of convincing yourself. The Panthers also put out a video today of the two of them at training camp walking out onto the practice field together, talking and laughing. I feel like this is all, it's like a PR stunt. Baker, every time I go online, I see Baker and Sam are together. Maybe they just have that good of a relationship and they get along really well. That'd be great. But I also feel like the amount of times I see these videos on social media, the two of them like together, it's the Panthers really trying to put to bed this idea that there's some sort of actual battle and they're both in each other's corners rooting for one another. Whenever a coach is extra talkative, they're really talking up their guys, that immediately raises a red flag for me. You don't have to talk up the greats because we already know it. It's the guys that we're unsure about, maybe even you're unsure about, maybe them themselves, the players, are a little unsure and they need a little ego boost in the public from their head coach. Trent, haven't you said in the past, you know, somebody's lying when they offer up like too many details or something like that?
Yeah, if you start giving more and more details about what you're lying about, then I know immediately. Just tell me like it is and don't keep going on to the next thing, you know.
Same idea with these coaches.
Boom.
Belichick went on yesterday. I couldn't believe it.
That's how you knew he was lying right then and there. We've never heard him talk about Tom Brady in that way, I tell you that right now. But Mac Jones is the best thing since sliced bread, apparently.
Right. Coaches either trying to convince themselves, their players, or probably most likely us, the fans or the media that are paying attention or listening. Matt Rhule trying to talk you into this great battle between Darnold and Baker and how it's going to make the team so much better. This time of year, as training camps begin, when coaches get to the podium and they're all talkative, to me, it's more of a red flag than it is some sort of reason to be excited. Which takes me to this. We'll wrap up hour one next. There's one player in particular on the Atlanta Falcons who was really excited yesterday. And I don't understand why players and coaches do this. We'll get to it next. It's the Maher Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers. Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Maher Midday Show.
Make me stay. You know I've got to be moving on. Oh.
Wrapping up hour one of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. I was just talking last segment about the coaches that are too talkative this time of year. Puts up a red flag. There's no reason you need to be so complimentary to certain guys right now. And let's focus on one player in particular, because Kyle Pitts, the Falcons tight end, yesterday told The Athletic, quote, "I do think we're going to contend and be able to fight for the playoffs and maybe even the Super Bowl. It's a new year. I don't think about the past and negative things." Said he thinks about proving doubters wrong every day. Now, look, as a player, you should be confident. Imagine going into the season saying, yeah, we're not going to make the playoffs. But to talk about, yeah, we could potentially compete for the Super Bowl this year, that's delusional when it comes to the Atlanta Falcons. But there's something about these Falcons. Remember when they drafted Desmond Ridder and he said like something along the lines of, I'm not leaving here until I bring him a Super Bowl? Something like that. Now you got Kyle Pitts talking about, hey, this year maybe we could even compete for a Super Bowl. According to ESPN's FPI, and we'll get more into this when we come back with Hour 2, they give the Falcons a 19% chance of making the playoffs, fifth worst. And in terms of winning the Super Bowl, they give the Falcons 0.9% of a chance to win the Super Bowl this year, fourth worst. So I guess they do have a chance. But this time of year, you don't need to make big proclamations like that if you're Kyle Pitts. Like, yeah, we will be a playoff team, and we may even go win the Super Bowl. Very slim chance that that would happen this year. Falcons will be one of the worst teams, I imagine, in the NFL. When we come back, we'll talk about some of those playoff teams that are more on the bubble than the Falcons. Will they be playoff teams in the NFL this year or not? We'll get to that next. Hour 2 coming up. It's the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio.